chapter number 13. Amen. I appreciate the good singing. Lord willing, we'll hear some more in a little while. Man, I'm looking forward. Man, if it's just good on Sunday morning, I can't wait till middle of the week. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. Listen, you're not going to want to miss any night this week, I'm telling you. You're not going to want, hey, Brother Reg, you might have to come back. Amen. You're not going to want to miss it. And Genesis chapter number 13, be here. Good to have you visitors. Man, we've got several visitors I've seen. And good to have you here with us this morning. And I'm excited. Amen. You say, are y'all always like this? No, but we try to be. Amen. We do the best we can. Amen. Genesis chapter number 13. I believe when God saved us, he gave us Jesus. Amen. And when he gave us Jesus, he gave us life. And we ought not go around with the mully grubs and the poochie lip. Amen. We ought to be happy. We ought to come to church glad about it. Amen. Amen. I just believe that. Amen. And my church knows that's my heart. And I'm telling them all the time, man, we ought to come to church and enjoy it. Amen. And you say, I don't like getting my toes stomped. Well, every once in a while, I need my toes stomped. Amen. Every once in a while, hey, I promise you one thing. When the preacher preaches to you, God's done preaching to me. Amen. I promise you that. Amen. Genesis chapter number 13. We'll jump in here. You know the story. Verse number 5 says, Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then he said, Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, God, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. We thank you, Lord, how you've already stirred our hearts, and Lord, you've already given us things in our mind and in our heart to rejoice in the goodness of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the word of God that's before us this morning that you've given us. Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. God, we pray that you'd bless the singing. Lord, now we've asked that you touch the preaching, God. I, your servant, Lord, I need you, God. I stand, Lord, where the arm of flesh can, will, and very well may fail without the Spirit of God. God, I pray for unction on high. God, I pray you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. And I pray, God, you'd help me to preach, Lord, your word. I pray you'd help me to say things that need to be said. God, I pray you'd put a guard on my lips and in my heart and help me to not say things that need not be said. God, help me to preach with passion and with compassion. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, I pray, here at New Hope Baptist Church, Lord, by your help and with your touch, Lord, to make a difference in people's lives. God, help us this morning. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name for all you do. And all God's people said, amen and amen. I'm preaching this morning on this thought, pitched tents. Pitched tents. Lot here, the Bible said that Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. We have the story of how they had become so great in number that their servants had become in strife, and there was a discontentment, if you will. And so there had to be a choice. There had to be a decision, if you will. There came a time of separation. And we have here a picture, if you will, of two different types of men. Abraham he was known as Abram at this time, but Abram would be a picture of what the New Testament calls the spiritual man. One who walks with God, one who's filled with the Holy Ghost, one who knows God, and he cherishes his relationship with God, and he has an intimate relationship, and he walks with him by faith, and he seeks to please God. And he's not all about the material matter, he's about pleasing God and knowing God. Now, Lot, on the flip side of that, Lot would be a picture of a child of God. And you say, well, I don't think Lot was saved. Well, if you study the book of 2 Peter, you'll find out that Lot was a righteous man. The Bible said that just man Lot vexed his righteous soul. And so we find out that Lot was a saved man, but Lot was a saved man that had become carnal. Lot was a saved man that didn't give attention in detail to his spiritual walk. He was a man who was saved, and the Bible said he was saved. The Bible said he was a righteous man, but he cost himself a lot of spiritual blessings, and he brought upon himself a lot of heartache that could have been avoided by minding the material things is what he minded instead of the spiritual things. There's a lot of people in this church this morning, and let me say to you, you got a lot of heartache. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and dump it while I'm here. Hey, you got a lot of heartache. You've got a lot of woe. You've got a lot of things in your life. And you're missing out on a lot of spiritual blessings that God wants to bless you with because you don't take time to spend time with Him. Amen. You're minding the things of the world. And I want you to see some things. The Bible said that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. When I think about this, I in my mind, Brother Reggie, I see Lot, that man that had been walking with Abraham. Abraham was his uncle, and he'd been with Abraham everywhere Abraham had been. And he learned some things from Abraham, some of them good and some of them bad. But he gets there, and he says, we're going to separate. And Lot, hey, he says, I want this. And he makes a decision to go in a different direction. And Lot, when he pitches his tent, I see him picking up that tent, Brother Rodney, and I see him taking that tent, and he moves it over, and he points it toward Sodom. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, you've read your Bible, you've heard somebody preach, Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't a cool place to be. I mean, it's a wicked place. Chapter 13, verse 13 tells us that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. You understand when we get the word sodomites. In our vocabulary, most people would call them homosexuals, but the Bible still calls them sodomites. And the whole city was gave them that name because that was what was rampant in that city. I'm talking about a wicked city. Let me just say to you, let me park right here. It's still wicked. Amen. It's still sinful. Hey, can I just say, I don't care if it's politically correct or politically incorrect. It's still biblically correct to say that what God says is an abomination. It's not an alternate lifestyle. It's not another choice. It's not something new for a new day. It's still an abomination, and it's wicked in the sight of Almighty God. Amen. And we got these boys running around in these little tight-legged skinny pants, and they look about the part. Amen. Boys, let me just say it like this. Put mommy's jewelry back up in her jewelry box, get your man clothes on, get your hoe in your hand, and be a man. Amen. It'll help you. Mom and daddy, it'll help you to tell them get off the couch, get out and do some work, mow the yard and weed the garden. Amen. But we had a whole city that was so wicked that now a whole sinful lifestyle is termed off of this city, Sodom. But and Lot, man, he grew up around a spiritual man. He grew up around Abraham. The Bible talks about how he's the father of faith. And Lot grew up around him in his household, knit and close with him. But there came a day where Lot made a choice. And let me say, there's a lot of people this morning making a lot of choices. That's already been touched on a little bit this morning. But I want to say there's some things about where you're pitching your tent in 2013. And any, it doesn't matter what, there's some things that the way you pitch your tent is going to show in your life. It's going to relate to a lot of areas of your life. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'll share this with you. I'll try to preach just as quick as I possibly can. But I want to say, you say, what does the pitching of my tent indicate about my life? Number one, I want you to see this. Number one, the way you pitch your tent will reflect a simmering desire in your heart. It will reflect a simmering desire. I was thinking about this and back in chapter 13, back in verse number 10, the Bible said when they was going to split up, in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes and he beheld all the plain of Jordan. He didn't start praying. He didn't start seeking God about what he should do. He lifted up his eyes. He started looking to please the physical, to please the flesh. And he looked and he said he beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, watch this, like the land of Egypt. Now, anybody knows anything about Bible interpretation, Egypt is a picture of and a type of the world. It's a picture and it's a type of where we were when we were in bondage. Moses led God's children out of Egypt. Hey, Deuteronomy 6:23. Hey, God said, I brought you out that I might bring you in. He had to bring you out. But now Lot, listen now, a saved man, he's got a desire for where he was brought out of.
Back in the chapter before, you could go back and read, and you'll see where Abraham backslid, and Abraham, his faith began to waver a little bit. And when the time of famine came, Abraham went down into Egypt, and he got all kinds of material goods, and Lot was with him. And while Lot was down there, Lot got an appetite for the things of the world. Listen, church, I'm preaching this morning. Hey, about your burning desire. Let me ask you this this morning. Hey, if you could do anything right now, and no consequences, nobody would, if you could go do anything right now, what would it be? That's a pretty good indication of which way your tent's going to be pitched. Yeah. Hey, Lot longed for, he desired, he reminisced about Egypt. I can imagine him thinking about all the things that he had down in Egypt. I can imagine him thinking about, the entertainment there and the money there and the materials there and his friends there. I can imagine him reminiscing. Let me say, when you start reminiscing about the old life, the life before you got saved, it's all right to look back and thank God where you came from. Thank God for where he brought you out of. But honey, when you start desiring it and saying, I wish I could go back there and try it one more time, look out, you're all on your way. Pitch tents reflect a simmering desire. Can I say this? There's a lot of people in the church this morning. I'm afraid they're sitting in the building. They're singing the songs. They're going through the motions. But on the inside, they're probably not even here this morning. They're wishing, man, I wish I could get out. I can't wait to go watch that football game. I can't wait to go do this. I wish I could be somewhere else. I wish I was. What is it you wish you was? That's your burning desire, wherever you wish you was right now. I mean, if my wife wasn't here, I'd be. If my husband wasn't here, I'd be. If my mom and daddy didn't make me come to church, I'd be. If my preacher wouldn't call me and check on me, I'd go. Or that husband saying, man, if I didn't think I'd get caught, I'd go. What is it, man? What's that burning desire? I'm telling you, that burning desire, one of these days it's going to pop out. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the way Lot pitched his tent, it showed some things about the burning desire that was in his heart. You say, well, I see people doing this, and I'll tell you why they're doing that. I'll tell you why people don't come to church on Sunday morning. I'll tell you why they don't come back to church, Isaac, on Sunday night and Wednesday night and every night of June. You want me to tell you why? Because people do what people want to do. People do, Brother Mitchell. People do what people, that's what, exactly right. People do what you'll serve God this year if you want to serve God. You'll walk close to God this year if you want to walk close to God. You'll be faithful this year if you want to be faithful. You'll praise the Lord this year if you want to praise the Lord. Hey, you'll be just as close to God this year as you want to be. The Bible said, draw nigh. James said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You say, I can't get close to God. No, you're just as close as you. Look, watch. Come here, Brother Reggie. Come here, brother. Help me out, brother. I know you. Hey, watch it now. God says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. And a lot of people think if you step toward me, and God's going to say, no, you can't get me so close. No, but here's the picture. Take a step. Take a step. We can't get much. Hey, let me say this morning, you're just as close to God. Hey, draw nigh to me. And he said, I'll draw nigh to you. Draw nigh. And the problem this morning is, it's not that God's hard to find. It's not that God's playing hide and go seek. The problem this morning is there's a lot of people that don't want to be close to God. And I'll tell you what Lot's problem was. Lot wasn't seeking the spiritual blessings. Lot wasn't listening to the promises of God. Lot wasn't relying by faith on God. Lot was thinking about the material goods that he left down in Egypt.
Yeah, boy.
There's a lot of people here this morning, and your mind's on the material. Your mind's saying, well, if I could get my life name up in the lights, if I could have the good. Can I say this morning, there's a lot of people in ministry, and they got the wrong desires? I'm talking preachers. There's a lot of preachers, and they're just looking to preach the next big revival. They want to preach. They won't preach where there's 50. They want to preach where there's 5,000. Come on. Hey, there's a lot. Hey, there's a lot of singers that wouldn't be here this morning.
Oh, no.
Y'all can't pay us enough. Y'all ain't got a big enough crowd. Y'all ain't got this. Y'all can't meet the requirement. Y'all don't meet our criteria.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're not interested in serving God.
No.
They're interested in serving mammon.
That's right. That's
exactly. I appreciate you, man of God. Hey, let me say this morning. Hey, what is your desire? What do you want to do? Your desire. I'm telling you, man, I know y'all been around. I've been around them. I've been around people, and you can watch them, man. You can watch them. They start out good. They're doing good. And you can watch the passion burning in their eyes. And they start seeing out, y'all. Man, they're sitting in the church pews. And you wonder what's wrong with them. Why ain't they faithful like they used to be? I'll tell you why. Because they start getting a passion for something else. Yeah. I've seen them in gospel music. I've seen preachers, hey, that walk away from the pulpit, walk away from preaching, walk away from the call of God on his life, and God used to use him. But he'd rather be in Nashville somewhere. He'd rather be, hey, in the lights. He'd rather be in the glimmer somewhere. And he's gotten away from God because of a burning, simmering desire on the inside. And your pitched tent's going to say something about your desire. Let me say this, number two. Let me say this. It will reveal a selected direction. A selected direction. There was no accident which way Lot went. He carefully thought. He looked out and he began to see there in verse 10. He said that he lifted up his eyes. My. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Man, I'm telling you, he began to look after the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he not only looked out on them, but he longed after them. He pitched his tent in verse 12. He pitched his tent toward them. He began to look at him. He longed after him. He wanted him. He desired him. And watch it now. Then in verse 13, he said he pitched his tent. But look over in chapter 14. Look at chapter 14, verse number 12. The Bible says that he dwelt there. Not only did he look there, not only did he pitch his tent there, but verse 12 said he dwelt in Sodom and his goods. He took a direction. A selected direction. Chapter 19, verse 1, talks about how Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. That's a place where the judges of the city would sit. And when the angels came to deliver him from Sodom and Gomorrah and tell him to get out, hey, they found him at the gate. He was in a place, most likely, of some type of leadership in the city. We're talking about a man that didn't belong there. We're talking about a man that had went the wrong direction. We're talking about a man, hey, he had the wrong desire and it led him to the wrong direction. He's in a place where he didn't belong because he looked somewhere and it began to long after something that he should never longed after. And then he began to live there. And he sat here in the gate. He's a leader there. It got in his head. Sodom got in his heart. And Sodom became his home. Let me say something to you this morning. Your life, where you go, and the way you live indicates the condition of your heart. Let me ask you a question this morning. What does your life indicate about your heart? Does your life, your habits, I'm not talking about somebody that slips up, mess up once in a while. I'm not talking sinless perfection. I'm talking about your lifestyle constantly, day in and day out, and your passion and where you go and what you do and the way you act and the way you treat people and the way you serve God. Hey, what does your life consistently say about your heart's condition? Have you taken a selected direction? Can I say you have this morning, whether you realize it or not? You're going in a certain direction. I'm going to say you're either getting closer to God or you're getting further away from him. God's not changing. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, he's not changing for you. He's not changing for the president. He's not changing for this economy. He's not changing for this culture. I said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So where are you? Which direction are you headed? Are you headed his way or are you headed the world's way? Hey, Egypt's out there. If you want to find Egypt, Egypt's out there. Now, I'm afraid there's a lot of people. I'm talking to saved people this morning. I'm talking to Christians this morning that if you're not careful in 2013, you're going to mess your life up. You're going to mess your family up. You're going to mess your individual life. You could cause grief to a church and a family. Hey, you're going to mess up by going in the wrong direction, making the wrong choices. What is your life? What does your pattern of life reveal about your heart and your choices? Let me say number three. Number three, your pitched tent will be a result from a spurned discipline. Again, I want to say this morning. It was no accident that Lot wound up where he wound up. And we're going to see something about where he wound up here in a minute. But there's no accident that he woke up one day down in Sodom and Gomorrah dodging fire and brimstone. Look with me back at verse 4, chapter 13. The Bible says something about Abraham, or Abram. It says he went on his journeys in verse 3 from the south, even to Bethel. Verse 4 says, unto the place of the, what's that next word? Altar. Abraham went to the place of the altar, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abram. had flocks and herds and tents. Now let me say something. Abraham, if you understand Abram in this time, he was a rich man, man. He had so many servants. I think the Bible said he could send 318 out to war armed, not to count the ones that was home taking care of the cattle and the women and the children. Man, Abraham had it going on in his day. Lot had a lot of material goods. Verse 5 talks about how he had flocks and herds and tents. But there's one thing different, Brother Red. There's something different right here in Abram's life that I see that I do not see in Lot's life. When I read about Abram, I read many times how he goes to the place of the altar. There's many times he goes back to the place of the altar, the place of the altar. It's mentioned many times in the life of Abram. But not one time in the man Lot's life do I find him at a place of the altar. Can I say, Mom and Dad, you're fixing to mess up this year because you don't have a place called an altar. I'm talking about a place. Hey, an altar is it's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of consecration. It's a place of devotion to God. It's a place of dedication. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of worship. It's a place where you go to get close to God Almighty. Let me ask you a question. I don't know where it may be. I don't care if it's in your bathroom floor. I don't care if it's in the closet of your bedroom. I don't care if it's in your car going to work in the morning. Hey, do you have a place where you spend time with God? I'm talking about you need a secret place. You need a time. You need a place of an altar. Oh, hey, Lot did not have a place of the altar. Let me say, there's no accident. Let me say, nobody backslides. Nobody gets away from God when they're spending quality time every day, day in and day out, discipline and time with God. Every time I see somebody fall out of church, I already know they done fell out of their prayer closet. Every time I see somebody's not faithful to church, I already know they're not faithful to read that Bible. I mean, it's an indication. You don't be faithful to God, walking with God day in, day out, reading your Bible, praying, witnessing, worshiping. You don't do those things and then that very day walk out and step out on your husband or your wife. No, you begin gradually. Listen to me. You begin gradually to get away from the time you spent with God. It's just one day, and one day leads to 2 days. Oh, it's just 1 week since I prayed. It's just 1 week. I ain't been to church in 3 weeks. And before you know it, you're out, and you're wondering, where's my joy? Where's my peace? Where's my satisfaction? And before you know it, you're looking for, like the old song says, you're looking for love and peace in all the wrong places. And you're not where you ought to be with God, so you begin to fulfill those desires with all the things of the world. That's what happened to Lot. He's not with Abram no more. Abram, he's not with Abram when he goes down to the altar. He's not. Hey, Lot didn't have his own time at the altar. He had all the material goods. He had it all. But his discipline in life, he didn't take time for God. He says in verse 13, when he was pitched his tent toward Sodom, verse 13 tells you about the discipline of Sodom. They were sinners and they were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Exceedingly. We've already talked a little bit about their wickedness. Oh, Lot, he had all the materials, but he didn't have time for the master. Can I say this? I'm going to say this. I want you to listen to me. If you have a lack of a walk with God in daily communion, it will always lead to a lack of conviction of sin in your life. Let me say it like this. A lack of communion with the Savior will lead to a lack of conviction of sin. When you're not close to God, I'm going to tell you something. When you're Lot became at home down in Sodom. What Lot saw every day, the Bible said it vexed his righteous soul. He couldn't have been happy down there being a saved man. But what he saw every day, he became little by little. He compromised a little here and a little there and a little here and a little there. Well, give me chapter and verse. And he didn't have chapter and verse, but he didn't listen to that still small voice. And so he compromised a little here and a little there, and he became comfortable with what was going on around him. Listen to me, church. There's a lot of Christians, saved people. You've been in church for years. There was time, hey, where if you saw certain things on television, you heard a certain word, Some of y'all remember, Frankly, My Dear, Gone with the Wind, and y'all heard it. And Archie Bunker used to be, I remember when people preached on Archie Bunker. Now we call that good, clean family fun. You think I'm preaching to you this morning? I'm being honest with you. And let me say, God hadn't changed. He's still exactly where he was. He said, Lord, I changed not. God hadn't changed a bit, but I tell you what has changed. Society's changed. Society's changed. And the world's changed. And I hate to tell you, but the church has changed. Amen. And I'll tell you where we've messed up, brother. Instead of God over in the same place where he's always been, instead of him being our standard, we're judging off of this church or off of this preacher. Well, he says it's okay. If he does it, it's okay. Well, this one says it's okay, so I need your help again. He says, hey, over here's the world on this side, and over there is God on that side. And this fellow over here, he says, listen, I know he's not right with God, but he's not over in the world. He's doing all right. It's all right with him, so I'll walk with him. And he gets a little bit closer to the world. The church gets a little further. And they say, well, he's still all right. I'm with him. And he's going a little farther and farther. And I'm with him. I'm all right. And guess what? And God's still over. And God ain't changed. And God ain't changed a bit. And guess what? He ain't changing for you or me or nobody else.
He ain't changing. He ain't going to do it.
But I'll tell you what. As church members, as Christians, we become way too comfortable with the entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We could preach on entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We could preach on it. What put Jesus Christ on the cross, we laugh at and call it entertainment today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we could laugh at it. Oh, it's just a movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just a song. Mm-hmm. It's just sin. It's just wickedness. Mm-hmm. God ain't changed, but we're over here. Hey, we're not in the world. No, but we're about 10 years behind it. The way we dress and our music. I'm just going to lay it out there this morning. Don't want you to have no questions. We're still old-fashioned. We're still old-time. We're not going contemporary. We're not going rock. We're not going to have a rock group to try to please the crowd and draw them in. Hey, we're going to preach the book. We're going to preach the blood. We're going to preach it the blessed hope. And we're going to preach it the same old-time way as they preach. Hey, if it was good enough for Granny, it'll be good enough for you and me. Amen. 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 It reveals a spurned discipline. I'll tell you what we need, Brother Reggie. We need somebody to do like that old song says. We need to restore the family altar and pray every day. And there wouldn't be so many of our children going astray. They say, well, children, you got to do this. You got to change the church. You got to engage the culture. No, if you engage the culture, you're going to mess up and go with the culture. If you preach the book, you're going to be like the book of Acts. You're going to turn the world upside down and you're going to enrage the culture. We love the culture. We go out to the people. We love them. God loved them. But we don't change to reach them. We wonder why. I'll tell you why children, when they hit 18, they go out. I'll tell you why they run. Because they're sinners. They've got a sinful nature and they want to please it. And mom and daddy, you had to get saved just the way they go have to get saved. Nobody made you dress right. Nobody made you look right. You got saved and God changed your heart. And until he changes their heart, they ain't going to want what you got. And let me say this. They hit 18 and they go. Because the world's got the better, if I can say it this, the world has made a profession of what we're trying to mimic. If we get back to the book, and they say, you still sing them old songs? Yeah, but we sing them like we mean them. If you sing Victory in Jesus like you're on Downers and Victory in Jesus, nobody wants none of that. Ain't no young person going to look at that and say, I want what they got. You know why? You know why they don't want to go to church? Because they done been. I'm telling you, when most people come through them doors, lost people, I'm talking about, when they come through them doors, they're sick and tired of what they've already tried, and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they're looking for something that's real. They're looking for somebody that's got something they ain't tried. They're looking for something they ain't had before. They're looking for something that's going to give them peace and joy that's lasting. And when they come in and see people singing about Jesus paid all,
They think that sounds like Tennessee Ernie Ford crying in his booms. I'm serious this morning. I'm straight up honest with you. Where's their devotion? Where's their discipline to walk with God? Let me say this. A pitched tent will render a source of disruption. Lot made the wrong choice. Lot got off in Sodom. Chapter 14, if we won't take the time to read it, but we'll read one verse in chapter 14. Lot got down there, and when he got down there, verse 2 says, these made war with Bear. There became a time of war against the country of Sodom and Gomorrah, that city. There was a time of great war. There was a time of great chaos. And verse number 11 and 12 says, Lot chose the plain. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 12, they took Lot, Abram's brother, son, who dwelt in Sodom and his goods, and departed. This war breaks out. Lot's down in Sodom where he shouldn't have been. He's already made the bad direction. He's gone the wrong way. When he gets down there, where he thinks everything's going to be good, chaos breaks loose. War breaks loose. War breaks loose in verse 2. In verse 10, he's got to flee his home. He's pleading for safety. In verse 11, he's losing all his goods that he went down there to get, all his victuals, everything he went down there after. He loses them because, hey, the oppressors come after him. Hey, in verse 12, hey, he's taken captive. Can I say to you this morning, there's a lot of saved people this morning. Hey, you may be saved, child of God, but you're not walking with God. You're not where you ought to be. You're in the wrong place. You've taken the wrong direction. Hey, and you've got a life that's not full of peace and joy, but you've got a life that has constant strife and chaos and no peace. And I'm going to tell you why your life is like living hell. Because you're in the wrong place trying to please the wrong desires. If Lot had not went down to Sodom, he had not been taken captive. He had not lost everything he had. He had not experienced that war. But he went to the wrong place, and it was a source of disruption in his life. You walk around and say, preacher, I know there's a time I say, but man, everything I say, everywhere I go, there's problems. Every time I turn around, there's trouble in my life. I tell you why. It's a pretty good indication you're probably not where you ought to be spiritually. Lot hadn't been in the wrong place with the wrong people. He could have avoided this war. He could have avoided the chaos. He could have avoided the disruption in his life. And I'll say this. If you get out there, you don't, hey, I'm telling you, there's too many moms. Listen to me. There's too many, preacher, I think I can get a better job over yonder. Don't ever base God's will on how much money you're going to make. If God wants you to go somewhere for a better job, he'll have a good church there where they're going to preach the Bible and lead you. Amen. I believe that 100%. You say, well, God wants me to go out yonder and I can make three times what I made. If there's not a Bible preaching church for your family to be a part of, you better say no, no, no. Preacher, I never heard that. You better listen. I'm trying to help you. Preacher, I think I need to go to this college. Where are you going to go to church when you get to that college? Where are you going to get fed spiritually? Let me say this. A pitched tent will always reap a sure destination. I ain't going to take time to read it, but go over to chapter 19. And God sends judgment upon the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And before he does, he goes down to where Abram's house. He goes down to Abram's house with two angels, and he's talking to him, and he's telling him what's going to happen. He's talking to Abram about some things. And the Bible says in chapter 18, verse number 33, that the Lord went his way, and as soon as he left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Hey, Abraham had communion with God. But watch chapter 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom. Keep reading. You'll never find one mention that the Lord went to Sodom. The Lord went to Abram's house, but he sent two angels down to Sodom. Lot had lost all communion with God. He lost his joy. Second Peter talks about how he vexed his righteous soul from day to day, both seeing and hearing.
He lost not only that, but verses 12 through 14, let me just say this, he lost his influence. Watch, verse 12. The men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in this city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. He said, listen, we're going to destroy this city. God's going to rain fire and judgment upon this city. Hey, get your family and get out. Verse 14. Here's a sad picture. Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Watch it now. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. You say, what happened here? Lot had so ignored the things of God, he turned his back on God, he turned his back on the altar, he turned his back on faithfulness to God, and he'd been down in the world enjoying the things of the world. He had his family, and he drove his stakes deep down at Sodom. And when God said, I'm going to judge, get your family out, his family said, what are you talking about, dude? And they laughed at him. Can I say there's a lot of you this morning that if you went down to where you were, it's a sad, there's probably a lot of you, hey, if you went to work and told somebody you was a Christian and they need to get right with God, they would laugh at you. They'd say, what are you talking about? You don't act like no Christian. And that's what happened a lot over time. He lost his testimony. He lost his influence with not only the people around him, but his own family. His own family. The sad truth is, hey, a preacher can preach and reach thousands, but if he loses his own family, God help us. He lost not only his influence, but he lost his wealth. What he went down to Sodom for, hey, the very thing he went down there for, he lost it. He lost all his wealth, all his material goods. In verse 26, he lost his wife. She turned back and turned into a pillar of salt. And then the last part of this chapter talks about how when he got out of the city, the only people he had with him was two daughters. And they took him up in a cave and said, let's get daddy drunk and let's lay with him. Where did they learn that? They didn't learn that at Uncle Abram's altar. They learned that at Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll tell you what he lost. He lost his material goods, he lost his mate, and he lost his morals down at Sodom. And guess what? He's kind of like 1 Corinthians 3. There's going to be some that are saved, yet so is by fire. They saved. I'm going to heaven, but you're going to get there by the skin of your teeth. You'll take nobody with you. You'll have no rewards. You're going to heaven, but you're so backslidden that nobody would mistake you for a Christian. And that's kind of the way Lot was. Where Lot sought satisfaction in is what wound up costing him everything that he ever wanted. He lost everything but his very life. Well, let me say this to you this morning. You said, man, preacher, you're hoeing in my patch. I'm thinking about them things. I've taken some of them wrong steps. Man, I don't have that discipline. I'll tell you what, let me say this. It can be remedied. It can be remedied this morning. You say, what's the remedy? You'll find a remedy in a spiritual dedication. Go back to chapter 13, and you'll see verses 14 through 18, that after that Lot had separated from Abram, that the Bible said that God came and talked to Abraham. And he told him, he said in verse 15, all the land which thou seest, he said to thee, I'll give it, thy seed forever. Verse 16, he said, I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall all thy seed be. This is what Lot wanted. He wanted all this. But he tried to please it with the physical instead of the spiritual. And God told Abram, rise, go up through the, he said, walk through the land in the length of it, the breadth of it, for I give it to thee. Verse 18, then Abram removed his tent, and he came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. And what did he do? And built there an altar unto the Lord. There's a difference between Abram and Lot. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He wound up in Sodom. He lost everything in Sodom. But Abram believed the promises of God. He trusted the God of heaven. And by faith, he walked with God. And when God gave him the promises, instead of trying to please it in the flesh, Abram went down, built an altar, and had a place of spiritual dedication. And God blessed Abram. And you know about Lot, he lost it all. But do you know about Abram? That's another message sometime. But Abram was blessed. He's the father of many nations. He's the father of faith. You ever heard of a Jew? You ever heard of Israel? Abram, the father of that nation. God blessed him and gave him a seed that nobody can number because he had a spiritual dedication in his life. Can I ask you this morning, have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Christ? Have you ever placed your faith in the Lord Jesus? And if you have, where are you at with him today? Where are you at with him today? I said it before, I'll say it again. You're just as close to God as you want to be. Hey, where's your desires this morning? Which way are you headed? Are you looking to Sodom? Because if you're looking to Sodom, I promise you, judgment's coming. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, rained fire and hail and brimstone down on them. And if he did it to them, he'll do it to the USA. He's going to judge. I promise you, judgment's payday someday is coming. Where are you at with God? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, God, I pray you'd have your will and way in this invitation. Time, God, speak to hearts. God, we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.